Open our Bibles tonight, if you would please, to the 12th chapter of the book of Acts tonight, Acts chapter 12, for a few minutes tonight. Acts chapter 12, we're going to read several verses tonight, so you don't have to stand for the reading tonight, because we're going to read several of these verses tonight. Acts chapter 12 tonight. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded farther to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined into the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. The angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wished not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he had saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to the hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, and then said that, and they said, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished, but he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Father, we just come to you, Lord, this afternoon, and we thank you for, Lord, many, many days of blessing, Lord, weeks of blessing. We thank you, and we didn't deserve any of them. But we're thankful you're a merciful God and good to us. And Lord, as we come now tonight to look at these 17 verses read, Lord, out of the Word of God, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts out of these verses tonight and give us something, Lord, that would help us, Lord, in our Christian life. I pray for everyone that's here tonight. Thank you again for those that, Lord, have helped and labored here the last few days around here, Lord, do extra work, and I know people are tired, but Lord, I pray you'd just refresh us, Lord, with your word and with your Holy Spirit, we pray, and we'll be careful to thank you and praise you for what you're able to do for us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This story took place a long time ago. Schofield Bible says A.D. 42 years after the death of Christ, what we just read took place. And the church was young then, it's a young church, and now the church is old. It reminds me of the words of David when he said, "I've been young and now I'm old." And the church is that way. The church had been young, but now we're a long ways removed from when this story took place. A young church is like young people. They have some things that older people desire and need. When we think about that, we think about how that the young people, many times I've heard somebody say, watched a young person playing. It might even been said yesterday how that people watch young people playing and they say, boy, I wish I had their energy. I wish that I could go like they go. Young people, they have, for most of the part, they usually have good vision. Usually most young people have a good appetite, as you seen yesterday. I think it's Brother Bill yesterday said, boy, said they've eaten all day, haven't they? And young people, they like to eat. And they have a lot of energy. They can go. They don't have any problem hearing. You hardly ever have a young person ask you what you said because they have perfect hearing when they're young. And the church was young here, but now it's an older church, and we don't see as good as we used to. And the church's appetite for the Word of God is not as good as it was in the early days. The church of our day doesn't seem to have the energy that they had in the book of Acts when they would go out house to house and they would have church every day. They'd meet from house to house and it wasn't just Sunday or Wednesday night, but the Bible said every day they met and they broke bread and they had services. I heard a preacher preaching just today, and he was preaching about that verse in the Bible where Paul said that he went from house to house warning people. And he was saying that Paul went from house to house knocking on doors and visitation. And I'm sure Paul did that, but I don't think that's what that means there. I think Paul went from house church to house church. The early church didn't have church buildings like we have now. They had church in people's houses like the Mennonites and sometimes Amish people. Some of them don't have church buildings. They just meet in people's houses. Wouldn't you ladies like that if church was going to be at your house next week? And I feel sorry for your husband, because if we just have somebody coming over for supper, I have to remodel a whole house and paint and mow the yard and weed eat and do everything else. And I think what Paul was saying was that he went from house church to house church. Leonard Ravenhill, who's dead now, but Brother Ravenhill said that the early church started out in a house, and it may end back up there. And there could be some truth to that statement. I don't know. But anyway, it's a troublesome time. It's an exciting time. God is doing great things in these 11 chapters up till chapter 12. But now there's beginning to be great persecution against the church. They're beginning to persecute those that are turning the world upside down. Those that are preaching Jesus, they're beginning to persecute them. They're afraid of the church. And you can see that because the Bible said they arrested Peter and they put four quadrants of soldiers to keep him. One man. And they put four quadrants of soldiers. Now that ought to tell you something there. In our little class yesterday, we were telling why we believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and we were given examples of why that we believed it. And that right there ought to be a good proof that Jesus rose from the dead because they had a guard at his tomb. They sealed the tomb, had guards there, and Jesus still arose from the dead. And they said, well, so we'll pay you money and you just tell everybody that they came and stole his body away. But you notice when they arrested one of his disciples, they put four quadrants of soldiers around him because there's something strange about these Christian people. There's something strange about these Bible believers. Strange things go on with them. So they have already killed James, the brother of John. They've already killed him with a sword. Already cut his head off. Already killed him with a sword. And now they have arrested Peter, and they are going to plan to do the same thing with him also, probably. And they arrested him and they placed him in prison. Preachers in Bible times were often jailed for preaching. It wasn't uncommon in Bible times for preachers to be arrested and thrown in a jail. We find different instances of it in the Word of God. It may come down to that again. It may come down, we may live to see it if Jesus doesn't soon come. We may live to see that those that preach the Word and teach the Word, that once again they may be persecuted, they may be put in prison for preaching the Word of God. We see some things now where that they're doing with this hate crime, which is saying if you preach against things like homosexuality or lesbianism or things of that nature, they say that that's hate crime or hate speech, and they're wanting to get laws. They've already got them going in some states. But if they had those going and message going out over the internet and they heard you say something they didn't like and somebody heard it, they went and pressed charges, they could arrest you and they could put you in jail for preaching the Word of God. But I won't tell you, just because you preach the Bible and tell people their sins don't mean you hate that person. It means that you hate the sin that they're doing, but you want that person saved. You want that person to hear the truth. I mean, nobody will ever come out of sin until they're convicted by sin and made guilty before God, and then they'll want to leave that sin. Amen. So we don't preach against homosexuality and adultery and drunkenness and all this stuff. We don't preach against it, drugs, because we hate that person. We preach it because we love that person, and we want them to hear the truth so the truth can set them free, and they can be saved by the grace of God. And so they've arrested Peter, and the Bible said they took him and they placed him in prison under lock and key, chains upon him, got him locked down, got him sleeping between two soldiers. By the way, I was going to call your attention there to what I just said. The Bible said they had him sleeping between two soldiers. He wasn't real worried about it. The Bible said that there were soldiers on each side, but still he was sleeping. You say, well, he was just sleeping because he was tired of all that went on. He was sleeping so sound that the angel had to really awake him because he was sleeping so sound. Amen. I'm glad that when we find ourselves in situations like this, that God is with us in a special way. And God gives us peace. I've never been in prison for preaching, but I have been in situations that I was worried about or troubled about, but God seemed closer then, and God gave great peace then, even greater than at other times. And so we see that the preacher had got arrested, and now Peter is down in the prison there, and word spreads around. They've arrested Peter. And so the word gets to the church. And the early church had one plan for problems. They had one plan of how to deal with things. And what that was a thing called prayer. When they heard that Peter was down there arrested, they didn't get signs and picket to jail. When they heard that Peter was down there arrested, they didn't get a group together and try to go down there and break in the walls and kick in the cell doors. No, when they heard that Peter was arrested, they said, we need to have a prayer meeting. Can I tell you that prayer is one of our greatest weapons as children of God? Amen. You see, the church had a problem here. One of their preachers was in jail, and they said, we need to get together and we need to have a prayer meeting. Amidst that group of people that were praying, it could have been a very large group, because I know in Acts 2 the Bible said that 3,000 souls were saved. And then the Bible said the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And then the persecution came and they spread out. So we're not sure how many met here in this group. But I do know that in that group of people that met, there was a young girl there, and her name was Rhoda. Her name was Rhoda. And her name means the rose. That's what her name means. If you look in the back of your Scofield Bible where it lists names and tells the meanings of Simon, it'll say Rhoda and then it'll say the rose. I don't know why that she was called that name. It could have been because that she was very beautiful like a rose. It could have been because of her character and disposition, that she just put a fragrance out that was always good. Amen. Some people, their attitudes and their disposition, they always stink things up. Ever thing that goes on. It always just stinks it up. But there's other people that you can put them in any situation, and just the way they act and react, and just the way they do, it just kind of releases a fragrance in amongst the people and whatever's going on, and it just adds something good. Kind of like Mary, when Jesus was there, as I preached this morning with Lazarus, and he was there, and Martha and Mary was there, but the Bible says that she broke that alabaster box of ornament and released that unto the Lord, and it filled all the room. Well, I think Rhoda was that kind of a young lady. I think Rhoda had a good attitude. I think that she had a good disposition. I think that Rhoda was a young lady that really believed in God and really believed in prayer. And they were there in that house. Did you know sometimes Christians meet and they pray, but sometimes even though they meet and they pray, they don't really believe that God is going to answer their prayer. But there was one young lady in this group, and brother when she prayed, sister when she prayed, she really believed that God was going to do something. Amen. You see, Rhoda here, like every Christian, like every person saved, Rhoda has a right to pray. She has a right to intercede to God. Sometimes, Brother David, the world tries to tell the young folks, and again, they try to instigate laws and institute things that say that we cannot pray. But you see, the thing about it is, the world didn't give me a right to pray, and the world can't take away my right to pray. My right to pray did not come from the White House. My right to pray come from God's house, where that I was saved and born again as a child of God. The reason that I can pray is because the Lord tells those of us that are saved and in His family. The Lord says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, wonderful verse. You ought to memorize it if you don't already know it. The Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. My, what an invitation. My, what an opportunity we have. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Can I tell you, we have a right to pray. But it's not just praying. People pray all over the world. People pray every day. People pray in Mary's name. Some people pray to Buddha. Some people pray to Muhammad. But you see, the Christian has been given a right to pray. And he's been given a right to use a name when he prays. And it's only that name that God recognizes. And that is, Brother Nathan, the name Jesus. God doesn't hear prayer in Muhammad's name. The Bible says nothing about God hearing prayer in Mary's name or Muhammad's name or anybody else's name. But the Bible says that when we pray in Jesus' name, God will recognize and hear that from His people that have been given the right to use His name to pray. Amen. It's kind of like this. The church here, they got me a debit card. Now the account's in the church's name. The money that's in there is not mine. It belongs to the church. But they given me this card, and I can use the name on this card and the number on this card. If I need to get gas or I need to pick up something for a Sunday school room or I need to do something like that, I can use this name and the bank will honor it, recognize it, and do what I ask for because I've been given authority and right to use it. Amen. Well, you see, God says as a believer, God's give you Jesus' name, and you have the right to use that name for your needs. You can go to the throne of God, Sister Jean, if it's a family member, or if it's a need, Brother Jack, or whatever it might be, we can go to God's throne and we can say, God, I have this need and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. In John 14, verse 13, the Bible said, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. In other words, God says, Jesus said, when you pray to the Father in my name, He said, God is going to answer your prayer, that the Father might be glorified in me. And it's just another evidence that He is the Son of God, and God honors prayer in His name. Can I tell you that tonight we have a privilege to pray? Rhoda had a right to pray. But can I tell you that God has not only given us a right to pray and a name to pray in, but God has said we can pray about everything. Everything. God didn't just say you can pray about some people getting saved. God didn't just say you can pray about church matters. But in Philippians 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, I don't think you ought to pray about the weather. God will take care of the weather. God said you can pray about everything. I think there was more people than just me that was praying that we wouldn't have rain on Friday night, and God would give us a good day for yesterday, and God honored that. Amen. God give us, it'd been raining all week, off and on, more or less, and God honored that prayer. I think we can pray about everything. Now sometimes I might pray for it not to snow. I might pray for it not to rain. I might pray for it to rain. And God's providence and will may override what I want, because God knows what is greater. God knows what's the greater good. But still I have a right to pray about all things. Amen. I can pray about my desires. I used to always preach out of a red Bible, and I've still got plenty. But the first red Bible that I ever bought, I wanted one. They're hard to find. Red Scofield Bibles, the old type. They're hard to find. And they said the reason they quit making them back in the late 60s and early 70s, the reason they quit making them is because that red dye used in them covers was causing people to get cancer. Can you imagine anybody holding a Bible long enough to get cancer? Amen. So they quit making them. But I wanted one. They're hard to find. One Sunday night, I'll never forget it, I went home and after preaching, and I got on eBay and I was looking for a red Bible. And I'd look about 2 hours just looking at Bibles, trying to find a red Bible. No red Bible. And I remember Brother Nathan stopping probably about midnight. I said, Lord, I said, I'd sure like to have one of them red Bibles. I said, Lord, I said, I'm not asking for a shotgun or a fishing rod or a new bass boat. Not there'd be anything wrong with asking for those things. But I'm just saying, God, I said, I just want a red Bible. I said, Lord, I know a black Bible is good as a red Bible. I said, I know the same things in a black one's in a red one. I said, Lord, but I'd just like to have a red Bible. Can I tell you the next thing that I scrolled up on the screen? There was a picture there of three Bibles. On one side was a New English translation. On the other side was a Living Bible. And stuck right in the middle of those two in the picture there in an estate sale was a red book. And I scrolled it on up and it said Red Scofield Bible. I looked down and I bought that Bible for $25. I bought that Bible. And you say, what are you saying? I'm saying, God, give me a desire of my heart. People say, well, I know God will meet your needs, but He won't give you wants. Oh, yeah, He will. And if you don't believe that, I'll just get a tractor, trailer, truck, and I'll come over to your house. And everything you don't really need, I'll just load up in my truck. Amen. Because I'll tell you about everything down at your house you probably don't really need. But it's just things you wanted. And God loves us and is good to us. And many times He gives us things that we want. You pray about anything. You can pray about healing. Amen. Sister Bailey knows about healing. I know about healing. I can tell you 2 or 3 experiences in my life where that I prayed for God to do something, and just like that, God took care of it. I remember One time when I worked at Dolly's, I was having a lot of trouble with my back, lower extremities, and I went to the doctor, several doctors, and just got worse. I was taking Tylenol and Advil every day, working at day, take them in the daytime. I remember coming home on third shift, my back, Brother Paul, was literally killing me. I got in that bed, I just looked up and I said, God, I said, I've been to doctors, I've done everything. I said, my back hurts so bad. I said, God, I know you have all power and you could do something about it right now, God. I know you could. And just like somebody hit a light switch, that pain went away. And to be honest with you, I've never had pain like that again. You say, what are you saying? Folks, we're remembering that God has said that we can pray about anything and everything. We certainly can pray about salvation if we have people that are lost. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We can certainly pray for revival because they did all through the Old Testament. They prayed and begged and asked God if He would not revive them again. We can certainly pray for Jesus to come because John, he ended up the Bible praying and he said, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, we can pray about everything and anything. And I'll tell you, we can pray anywhere. Amen. Anywhere. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Amen. Jesus said that in Luke 18:1. He said men ought always to pray and not faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he said those words, pray without ceasing. Now, you know that we can't stay at the altar 24/7. And that's why we can pray anywhere. Amen. We can pray sitting at home. We can pray driving down the road. Believe me, I know it. When you get two tickets, you pray driving down the road. Amen. You pray for me. If I get another one, one of you is going to be driving me. Amen. You say, what happened? We start on vacation. Limited funds, going on vacation. Hadn't been on a vacation in 2 or 3 years. Took the grandkids. Didn't even get out of Somerset. Pulled over. Wasn't even a state trooper. Made him worse. DOT. He come up there and he said, let's see your license. I hand him to him. He went back. I said, I'll talk to him when he comes back up. He come back up. There was no talking. He just handed a ticket in there. $193. We got down there in the mountains and got in the motel room. And little old Dave, and he said, Papa, why did that DOT, why did he stop you? Why did he give you a ticket? I said, he did that, honey, because Papa was driving too fast. That's his job. And I said, it wasn't his fault, it was my fault, and I need to drive better. Amen. All things work together for good to them that love God and called according to the purpose. I'll tell you what, last 3 weeks I've done some of the best driving I've ever done. Amen. God may have been saving my life, I don't know. But all I'm saying is that you can pray anywhere. Jonah prayed in a whale's belly at the bottom of the ocean. Amen. All the way down to the bottom of the ocean inside of a great big whale, Jonah prayed and God heard him. Can I tell you that Peter prayed in the middle of the sea, drowning. He prayed and said, Lord, save me. And God heard him pray. Amen. Can I tell you, a thief prayed on the cross beside Jesus, and he prayed probably the only prayer that sinners can pray and be assured of getting through. He prayed, dear God, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus heard him. Silas prayed in jail. I tell you, if I get in jail, I'll be doing some praying down there too. But I want you to know that Silas, the Bible said they prayed and sung praises unto God. Paul prayed in the middle of a violent storm. Paul went down below and Paul prayed. Amen. And I tell you, Paul prayed in a storm and John prayed exiled on the Isle of Patmos. John prayed out there. You can pray anywhere. Amen. I mean, it's silly, it's stupid to tell kids they can't pray at school. How can you keep them from praying at school? Someone said as long as there's semester tests, there'll always be prayer at school. Amen. But you see, you don't have to pray out loud for God to hear you. The Bible says in 1 Samuel that Hannah prayed and her lips didn't move. But God heard her prayer and gave her a baby. Amen. God can hear your prayers. Amen. And you can pray anywhere. Now, Rhoda, this young lady, she knew enough to know that she had a right to pray. She could pray. Now, Rhoda has a reason for praying. Because the Bible said word got to her and to the people there that Peter's in prison. They've already killed James. He may be next. We need to meet and we need to have a prayer meeting. Now, he is a member of their church family. Amen. New Testament church, Peter is one of the founding leaders of the church, if you will. And Peter is one of their church family. And Rhoda hears that he's in trouble. And so Rhoda now has a reason to pray. I'll tell you that every one of us, we oughtn't to lack anything to pray about. Sometimes we get down to pray. 2 or 3 minutes, we're done. We can't think of anything else. That's only because most of the time we're only focused on our needs or our wants. But you see, if when you get down to pray, if you'll just get a visual picture of this church and where people sit and what's going on in people's lives, you'll have a very hard time of getting done praying in about 30 minutes. If you start thinking about what's going on in people's lives, when you start thinking they got a boy over here that's been through little hell and is fixing to go to the pen, you can pray about that. Amen. She's got a sister back there that's real sick and has lots of needs. You can pray about that. Amen. Sister Linda's been facing some new health issues and has been discouraged about that. There's something to pray about. Amen. Sister Debbie has children that are trying to stray away. There's reason to pray. Amen. I'll tell you, my friend, just start looking around. Just memorize. Help God to put in your mind a picture of all the people that sit here at Bethel Baptist Church and realize they're your church family and you have a reason to pray and beseech God in behalf of all them. Amen. I like that old song says, I need the prayers of those I love while traveling old life rugged way, that I might true and faithful be a soldier for Jesus every day. We have reason to pray because that he was part of the church family. But also, I believe that she knew that her friend Peter, not only was he a church family, but he was a friend. We ought to be more than just members, folks. We ought to be more than just names on a book. We ought to be family, but we ought to also be friends, amen, that care about one another, that want to help one another. Peter was a part of their fellowship, the Bible says. And James tells us in chapter 5, James says, pray ye one for another, amen. We're supposed to pray for each other. Rhoda has a reason for praying. Not only because of the fellowship and the friend, but because of the foe. Rhoda knows that the world is against them. She knows that there's a devil out there. The Bible says in James 5, in verse 5, the Bible says, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He said, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he cares about you. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, stalks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that is in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, he'll make you perfect and settled and strengthen you. Amen. But what we need to do is we need to realize there's a devil out there. I'll tell you, we'd quit complaining about the devil and talking to the devil and put a Bible principle in play. We might have less trouble with the devil. The Bible doesn't say talk to the devil, complain about the devil, tell everybody what the devil's doing. The Bible says go when the devil's bothering you. The Bible says submit yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you, the Bible says. Amen. Rhoda has a reason for praying. She's down there praying, boy. She's praying in behalf of someone else. God likes it when you pray for somebody else. You say, why? Because you're like him. And Jesus on the cross, that's what he's doing. He's praying for somebody else. Amen. Can I tell you that Rhoda, this little girl here in this prayer meeting, she realizes that she has a right, a privilege to pray. She realizes she has a reason to pray. So they're down there praying. And the Bible says while they're down there praying, while they're praying, they're way over here somewhere on one side of the city and they're praying. And while they're praying, they're down there saying, God help Peter. God do something for Peter. God don't let him cut his head off. Lord help him to get out of prison. And while they're over here on this side of town praying, on the other side of town, while they're sending prayers up, God sends an angel down. You know, angels are all throughout the New Testament. It's amazing how much the Bible talks about angels in the New Testament and we never say much about it. But I mean, it's literally packed full in the New Testament of angels working. The Bible said an angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison and he smote Peter on the side. I mean, that's how asleep he was. He had to hit him on the side and say, wake up, boy. And he said he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell from off his hands. They're down there praying, and God helped Peter to get loose. Chains fall off. And then the Bible says, and the angel said unto him, gird up thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. They start down through this ward. Remember, they got four quadrants of soldiers watching him, keeping guard. Now, when he said, cast your garment around him, I don't know if he meant do like this as he went down through there. But all I know is he did what he told him, and they followed him down through there. The Bible says as they walked down through there, nobody said anything. Nobody saw them. Nobody did anything. You say, why is that? I don't know. I know that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, I know that when he walked with the two people on the Emmaus Road, the Bible said that their eyes were withholding, that they couldn't see him. But you know, God's able to make people not see you. And God's able to make people to see you. And the Bible said he went out and he followed him and wished not that it was true. I mean, Peter's down there and he's sleeping and everything and he wakes up and he thinks, this must be a dream. My chains are gone. I'm following an angel of the Lord, and he's leading me down through here. And the Bible says they come down there to the iron gate, and a gate that leads into the city. And I'll tell you, the Bible and God's way ahead of modern technology. They got down there, and before they even got to that door, the Bible said the door slid open. Remember the first time you ever seen a deal like that? I heard about an older man went to the city. Ever seen anything like that? An older man. He goes to the city, him and his wife. She's old, he's old. He's standing there in this building, and all at once the door opens and this older lady gets on. The door closes, it goes up. In a few minutes, he's spellbound and it comes down, the door opens, and a beautiful young lady gets off of it. And he tells his wife, he said, get on that. Amen. I'm telling you that the Bible says that when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me. Remember what I said this morning? God does things in a way so that you will know that God is the one that done it. Amen. If they'd got up there and broke in and they may have could have done it, if they'd got in there and killed a bunch of people and got him out, it'd been them that done it. But all they did, they got down on their knees and they prayed. And he said when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, this John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came and hearkened named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Now Rhoda has a right to pray, and Rhoda has a reason to pray. But Rhoda has a reward for her praying. All indications seem to be that Rhoda may have been the only one that really believed that God was going to get Peter out. Because the Bible says that the chains had fell off, the light had came, he had been led that way, and now Rhoda is expecting God to answer prayer, and he says she goes to the door, and when she sees him, she's so excited, she doesn't even let him in. She runs back in there to tell all the others, Peter's here. They said, this can't be. They weren't really expecting it. Amen. It's like years ago, they told it was in Scottsville, Kentucky. We had a year that was very dry. For all summer was dry. Everything was burned up. They called for everybody to come for a prayer meeting down at Scottsville, Kentucky. They come to call for a prayer meeting. They were going to pray for rain. And as the whole town met there, there was a preacher passing foods the way I heard it. And the preacher's name was Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham's granddaddy pastored a church in Warren County. You say, who's Mordecai Ham? He's the man that was preaching when Billy Graham got saved. They said Mordecai Ham was coming through, and he asked what was going on, and they said they're praying for rain. And somebody asked him to pray when they found out he was there, and he went up, and all these people had met to pray for rain. And he said, all right, we're going to pray for rain. But he said, how many people has umbrellas? And one little girl in the crowd, they said, held up an umbrella. He prayed for rain. But you see, folks, Rhoda's prayer was a prayer of faith. Can I tell you that even though we have the right to pray and a reason to pray, the only kind of prayer that God answers is believing prayer. So listen, whenever you're praying for something, the devil's doing everything he can to make you not believe that God can do it. That's why you've got to hold on to your faith. And I'm getting to the main thing of the message. You've got to hold on to your faith. Don't let the devil wrest it out of your hands. You have to believe God and His Word.